This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're going to take our series about shareholder value that we're running this week, the price of profits, and turn it a little bit toward you. We've done a couple of stories so far about big investors, hedge funds mostly, and how since they are big investors, they can pressure companies to use their profits to, everybody with me now, increase shareholder value, right? Okay, so now the you part. A lot of you are investors, either directly or more likely in a 401k or some other kind of retirement account. And if you have a retirement account, you want big returns. Public pensions, endowments, they want big returns too. The thing to know here is that hedge funds are able to pressure corporations because, in a lot of cases, it's your money they are putting to work. Here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
They are the squeaky wheels of Wall Street. Those are the words of corporate lawyer Adam Zarofsky, who teaches at Fordham Law. I'm with him in New York's Midtown.
Just off the corner of 52nd and 6th Avenue, otherwise known as Avenue of the Americas, which some people refer to as Corporate Canyon, because there's a lot of talk.
In Corporate Canyon, one group above all strikes fear in the hearts of CEOs and company directors, what are called activist investors. These are powerful hedge fund managers who make a lot of noise in corporate boardrooms.
They can threaten to take over the company. They can threaten to maybe throw out the directors and officers, hostile takeovers. And because of that pressure, a lot of managers and directors feel, you know, they're better off following the advice or interest of those investors.
Investors wanting to maximize their returns. Sometimes they break up companies to do it. Consider the case of Timken Steel in Canton, Ohio. One activist hedge fund pressured the company to split up into two. The hedge fund then cashed out. But the companies lost half their collective value a year later. They slashed investments in the future and their retirement contributions. This can happen when an activist buys a stock and starts circling. Which is why one list of activist hedge funds is called the Shark Watch 50. You can monitor them at sharkrepellent.net. They're not always the popular kids. But here's the surprising reveal. The shark in the Timken Steel case was funded in part by teachers, specifically the pension fund for California teachers. This is the Main Street money funneling billions of dollars into activist funds, says law professor Timothy Spangler at UCLA.
The reason so many people are talking about them is because very, very large checks have been written over the last 10, 15, 20 years by public pension plans.
Pension plans whose traditional investments, their stocks, their bonds, just don't make enough money.
The returns on those investments are far below what they need to be earning in order to fulfill the promises, the retirement benefit commitments they've needed to deliver.
So the problem of activist investors, if it is a problem, is partly us. Spangler estimates more than half the money in these funds comes from pension plans and college endowments. Now, one reason these squeaky wheels get heard loud and clear is because other investors are passive. We're talking about individual investors in mutual funds. Again, you and me. Nell Minow at Value Edge Advisors represents shareholder interests.
It used to be that you would have some stock in a company and you'd pay attention to that company.
Today, because of the spread of 401k retirement plans, more Americans are in the market than ever before. Just like hedge funds, working stiffs want the best returns too, just without thinking much about where they come from. That's because nearly all the money is in mutual funds, especially index funds that buy the whole market. So most people don't have the time to know or to care where their money is.
Most individuals with 401ks have no idea what stocks are in their portfolio. There are so many levels now between the stockholder and the company.
So we, the passive investors, give activists the shareholder megaphone. This worries some people, who offer up case studies like that of Yahoo. 4 years ago, the company was sitting on $4 billion in cash. After pressure from activist shareholders, Yahoo gave most of it back to shareholders by buying back its own shares. And the activist exited after just a year and a half. Now, Yahoo could have put its money elsewhere, says Adam Zarofsky.
They probably could have announced that we're doing a share buyback or we're going to develop the flying car. And I certainly, for one, would have been happier to see if they could try to see if there was a flying car or something like Google's doing with the self-driving car, you know, something that could have made a difference to the world rather than just to the pocketbooks of some particularly squeaky investor wheels.
It's short-term over long-term. Think about it. If shareholders extract money out of a company, there's less to put into the company. Yahoo is now selling its core businesses.
You wonder if the employees who are now going to be facing layoffs, if the future products and services they could have provided that society won't have now might have been benefited by some other, you know, use of those assets.
Put another way, if American companies don't invest long term, how will they develop the products, the technologies, the stuff of tomorrow? Now, here's another concern some have about the activist funds. They have built-in incentives to take giant risk, to blow up companies, to merge them, to dump the board. That's because the money managers make billions of dollars if they bet right. And if they bet wrong, they're okay. Their clients lose money, but they still make their fees. Now, here's the activist defense. There's some evidence that they actually improve multi-year stock performance, and many buy and hold shares for a while. And like any stockholders, activist investors have a right to vote and to hold companies accountable. Georgetown finance professor Jim Angel.
We need another set of eyes on what's happening inside the company. So when the activists spot a company that is not maximizing its shareholder value, they'll step in and try to make changes.
So the debate goes on over this booming financial creature known as the activist shareholder, a creature in a system we helped create and are part of. In New York, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.